Today we are going to be talking about the Cold War. As I'm sure we are all aware, this was a period characterised by geopolitical tension involving Western democracies, overseen by the United States and the opposing Soviet Union. These tensions manifested themselves in conflict and composition, which often features heavily in the school curriculum, like nuclear armament, the space race, and one aspect that we believe isn't highlighted enough, the environment.
This is something that has largely been ignored by Cold War and other related exam specifications. Following feedback from students who want to see the environment more heavily featured in the classroom, and because climate change is an increasingly pressing concern, we believed it would be important to bring this topic to light.
Speaking today is myself, Caitlin.
Abby.
Georgia.
Rachel.
And also Gabby, who is not behind the mic today, but who has also played a huge part in our research. So I'm going to begin by asking why the environment was such an important aspect of the Cold War.
The concern for the environment played a huge role in international relations at the time, and new discussions surrounding environmentalism.
Did you know that the first concrete collaboration between East and Western blocs was surrounding the environment, specifically air pollutants, in 1975 after the Helsinki Accords?
This period also saw the development of new American environmental research in a place that listeners might be surprised to hear, the Arctic.
Wow, yeah, I am surprised to hear that. When did this topic first become relevant as an area of historical interest?
So the role of the Arctic in the Cold War has only been relevant in historical research for the last 10 years or so. It only really took off with the Exploring Greenland project, which took place between 2013 and 2016.
That's really cool. Who undertook this research?
This was a joint Danish-American collaborative project. It was led by Mathias Hayman, a professor at Aarhus University, and involved historians from a huge variety of historical disciplines, including geophysics, climate change, and polar exploration.
Thanks for explaining that, Abby. Now we are going to go back to the beginning of the Cold War in the early 1950s and why there was an interest in the Arctic in the first place. Going to Georgia.
The Arctic was of interest for a few reasons. The main factor was its territorial importance, which allowed for strategic, scientific and military advancements for the US.
Oh yeah, I think I saw a video about that actually.
Yeah, so the Army released a 30-minute video in 1958 highlighting the accomplishments of the US in Greenland. It was called The Big Picture, released to boost support for the programme. Essentially, the proximity of the polar regions made it an ideal trajectory for missile testing and potential shorter route for ballistic missiles between continents.
I think it's worth mentioning here that at this point, and until 2008, I believe, Greenland was under Danish sovereignty. And at the beginning of the Cold War, America actually offered to buy Greenland from Denmark.
How much exactly was offered then?
Would anyone like to have a guess?
I'm going to go with 25 million.
I'm going to go around 50.
It's actually higher.
Really? Okay, 70 million?
So it was actually $100 million.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But ultimately, yeah, this was rejected.
Denmark definitely understood the importance of Greenland during this period then.
But it's also good to note that the US was given rights to act in Greenland in its so-called defensive area under the 1951 Greenland Agreement, which shows that they still had some control over the region.
Exactly. Parallels can possibly be drawn between Soviet presence in Cuba and the USA's desire to have a foothold in Greenland.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. Specifically in the example of the 1951 Greenland Agreement, I feel like this highlights how the US used NATO as a puppet. This was just 2 years after the formation of NATO in 1949, which shows just how early on in the Cold War the US was willing to manipulate the organisation for its own interests.
I feel that it is important to mention that this is still for historical debate whether the US manipulated NATO for its own interests. What do we all think about this?
Yeah, I would say in this situation, it definitely seems like they have.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we know the strategic position of Greenland was important. Are there any other factors that made the Arctic more appealing to the US?
Yeah, so the Arctic was, and still is, rich in natural resources, including oils, minerals, and the possibility of new trade routes. With growing demand for resources, especially after the Second World War, the Arctic became an ideal place for economic gain and resource exploitation.
Absolutely. I think it's also important to mention that in some A-level specifications, which explore international relations around this period, there is mention of the 1973 OPEC oil crisis, which is a really fascinating example of how natural resources like oil continue to be key areas of competition between states throughout the Cold War. This example of the Arctic just shows how natural resources have always been so significant internationally.
This is getting very serious. How did the US establish its dominance in Greenland then?
The first thing the Americans did was to construct the Thule Air Base in 1953 under the codename Operation Blue Jay. This was the largest construction to ever be built in the history of Greenland.
Did you know it involved 12,000 workers and required 300,000 tonnes of cargo?
Yes, so this was a massive undertaking, but I'd say America's most significant involvement in the Arctic was actually Camp Century. It was built between 1959 and 1960, and it was a military camp and scientific research base.
Wasn't Camp Century also known as the city under the ice?
Yes, Camp Century is home to over 200 people. It had heating and electricity supplied by a small nuclear reactor. There were also hot showers, a library, a chapel, and even a cinema. So it was luxurious, at least to the standards of Arctic living.
So aside from watching films, what were the Americans actually doing in Camp Century?
They were exploring the possibility of placing ballistic missiles under the ice. This venture was named Project Iceworm.
That is such a silly name. Did you know that the Americans made up some other quirky names for scientific projects, such as Project Acoustic Kitty and Project Dribble? Other relevant military operations seen in the spec include Operation Rolling Thunder and Operation Phoenix.
That is really bizarre. But was Project Iceworm a success, though?
No. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the tunnels kept collapsing and the Americans quickly realised that the ice sheet of Greenland was not stable. Project Iceworm was cancelled in 1963, just 3 years after it began.
However, scientists did continue drilling holes in the ice. There's a newspaper article in the New York Times from 1966, which reported that the Army was served Coca-Cola with ice taken from 1,800 feet below the surface. Interestingly, this was the ice that formed over 2,000 years ago, around the birth of Christ.
Christmas Day, actually.
Yeah.
So Project Iceworm was cancelled in 1963. How much longer was Camp Century operational?
Until 1966. Then the Americans packed up and abandoned the facility.
Did you know that although the US took the nuclear reactor out of the ice, it still left 47,000 gallons of radioactive nuclear waste? That's equivalent to over 500,000 cans of Coke.
Wow. And isn't this still a problem today?
Yeah, so because of climate change, it's becoming a more pressing issue to resolve, as it's estimated that this ice will start to melt by 2090, which could expose radioactive material.
This really goes to show the negative environmental legacy of the Cold War.
Yeah, I completely agree with Rachel. Were there any positive outcomes of American involvement in the Arctic?
Yeah, absolutely. American and Danish researchers were dealing with ice and snow. And in the early 1950s, this area was largely unexplored in the scientific world. So it demanded new research, and this was truly groundbreaking.
Oh, so you're right. Involvement there wasn't all bad.
Yeah, in fact, they utilised some of the holes from Project Iceworm. Researchers from Copenhagen University analysed an ice core. They discovered that you can trace historical temperature changes going back 100,000 years.
The ice core also revealed how much air contamination resulted from the Industrial Revolution and how much snow has fallen every year since 1100 AD. We found this in a newspaper article from 1959.
And wasn't this some of the first evidence allowing us to interpret climate change?
Yes, exactly. I'd say that the research methods developed in the Arctic during the Cold War are so important to our understanding of the environmental challenges that we face today.
Yeah, for sure.
And who knows, maybe they will help us to solve them. Thanks everyone, you really do learn something new every day. Beyond the Arctic, has there been any other research into the environment during the Cold War?
Yes, so similar to the Arctic, historical research has only really become relevant in the past 10 years or so, with the increasing awareness of environmental challenges.
That's really interesting. Do we have any examples of this?
So yeah, states around this time began to consider how they could use biological weapons, because the Cold War created fear that total war could break out. So the idea of catastrophic environmentalism started to come about.
Oh, can you elaborate on that further?
It's essentially the idea that humans can play a key role in causing natural disasters and other threats related to climate change. Jacob Hamblin Darwin has looked into this a bit more, so his work is worth looking at if you want some more details.
Doesn't this also link to how the environment was weaponized too? I've heard something like this happening in the Korean War.
Yeah, during the Korean War, Representative Albert Gore Sr., who was an American politician, suggested that the US contaminate a strip of territory with radioactive waste to prevent communist troops from being able to continue moving south.
Oh no, is it all bad news?
No. Although I would argue that the negatives outweigh the positives in this case, many of which are of course still relevant today, ideas of conserving biodiversity did start to emerge in the 1950s and continue to develop throughout the period, which is certainly a good thing. This idea can also be attributed to Hamblin Darwin's work.
With the development of nuclear weapons, there was also an increasing awareness that radioactivity was harmful. This formed the basis for environmental movements.
Exactly. There were clearly positives and negatives to greater understanding of environmental issues during this period. I think that's everything from me. Does anyone else have anything to add?
I would just add that this is a really complex area with a potential for a lot more research in the coming years.
Yeah, I agree, especially because it's so new.
Okay, on that note, that brings our podcast to a close. We have gathered a list of other accessible resources that you might find interesting, including a documentary that places Camp Century in the larger context of the Cold War and the Exploring Greenland Project website, which documents American involvement in the Arctic.
Also, there is the Iceworm Archive, which is a great database for primary sources, and Figure 4 on geophysical research letters that illustrates the melting of the ice sheet where Camp Century was situated. You'll be able to access these and many more in our list below.
So that's it from us. Thank you for listening to our podcast about the relationship between environmentalism and the Cold War. We hope you found it useful and engaging, and it has encouraged you to think about this topic in a new light. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.